Praise the Lord. So good to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Throughout history, there have been, and there are now, proponents of peace, advocates, supporters, promoters, protagonists, champions, a desire for peace, a desire to usher in peace, to create it, to establish it. Peace treaties, peace acts, peace agreements, peace pacts. The great concern, peace among men. That wars cease, that fights and conflicts be silenced, that disagreement and difference be traded for commonality. That there be a coexistence, even a harmony. And we see to this path the acceptance of all, the acceptance of all things, that peace be possible, that peace be known. Peace at all cost. And here, proponents of peace presenting and pushing truths that are unholy, truths that are ungodly, truths that are unbiblical, truths that are pandering in nature, truths gotten by the trading of the truth of God. Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their minds, in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchange the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful. It is shameful. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. What a portion of Scripture. We're talking about an exchange, the exchanging of the truth of God for the lie. Question: is God in favor of the peace pact being promoted in this world? Does the Bible agree with what is being fostered, encouraged, endorsed? Isaiah 59, beginning of verse 10, we grope for the wall like the blind. How fitting the words of the prophet. And we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So much unholy being pushed, promoted, set in place. Now there are those among the unrighteous that loathe the nonsense being promoted and pushed. You know, I thank God that there is still some sense of morality among the heathen. But you know, if we all just had one language and speech, wouldn't it all be easier and healthier and beneficial and enlightening? Well, Genesis 11, beginning of verse 1, now the whole earth had one language and one speech, literally lip. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, come and let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Then they had brick for stone, they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city, and to see the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go. Let us go down and there confuse their language. You know, the Bible has an answer for everything. That they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore the name is called Babel, literally confusion, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. From there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. One language and speech. But this wasn't a people of God speaking the same thing, united in language, united in faith, united in purity and righteousness, the truths and truth of God. No holy city. No righteous tower. So what? Should Christians, bearers of truth, seek to cause conflicts and start fights? Start wars? That's not what's desired. This is not our agenda. This is not our hope. This is not our mission. But the truth is this. As we stand for truth and hold to truth and live the truth and speak the truth, Jesus' words will be known. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Speak up for truth. No, we're not promoting hate, we're promoting truth. Declaring what is right. Declaring what is holy. Recall the words of Martin Luther, peace if possible, truth at all costs. We serve a God of peace. We serve a God who desires peace. In fact, we serve a God who sent his Son on the greatest peace mission of all time. But not at the expense of truth. And the reality is, peace is only acceptable in God's eyes if the cost of truth is paid. Jesus' great concern was peace with God, not with man. Why did Jesus not come to bring peace but a sword? Because peace between God and man had fallen. It was broken. Because peace between God and man was at stake. If Jesus would have come to bring peace at the cost of truth, he would never have secured reconciliation. He would have just added to the reconciliation syndrome. Only the truth sets us free. Not the peace agendas of man, the transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Listen, the Prince of Peace bears a sword that a severing take place. It's the only way. For truth prevails, and our deceptions will perish in the end. Welcome and wield the sword like the great champion of peace. It's the way. It's the only way. John 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. So we clearly see by way of these verses that freedom only comes by way of Jesus Christ. And continuing in his word and knowing the truth, this makes us free. Forever his truth shall reign. Reminder today, truth prevails. the deceptions will perish in the end. Back to our main text, reading from the Message paraphrase. Man, I love that first line. Don't think I've come to make life cozy. I've come to cut, make a sharp knife cut between son and father, daughter and mother, bride and mother-in-law. Yeah, some think it's easy to truly follow Jesus. Cut through these cozy domestic arrangements and free you for God. Well-meaning family members can be your worst enemies. If you prefer father or mother over me, you don't deserve me. If you prefer son or daughter over me, you don't deserve me. If you don't go all the way with me through thick and thin, you don't deserve me. If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. I mean, imagine if Jesus had come to make life cozy. Imagine if Jesus was concerned with making sure everyone was cozy. Imagine if his mission would have been a peacekeeping mission rather than a peacemaking mission. And we are talking about peace that is not of this world. Peace that only comes through Jesus and through salvation and reconciliation and adherence to the word, the sword. Peace that sets us free. And the truth of God is the only means that peace, real peace, be made possible. And peace outside of the truth of God, beyond these borders, is the peace of Satan. The lie. The words of Charles Spurgeon. The Christian will be sure to make enemies. It will be one of his objects to make none. But if in doing what is right and believing what is true should cause him to lose every earthly friend, he will regard it as a small loss, since his great friend in heaven will be even more friendly and will reveal himself to him more graciously than ever. You who have taken up his cross, don't you know what your master said? I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Christ is the great peacemaker, but before peace, he brings war. Where the light comes, the darkness must vanish. Where truth is, the lie must flee. Or if it remains, there must be a stern conflict, for the truth cannot and will not lower its standard. And the lie must be trampled underfoot. If you follow Christ, you will have all the dogs of the world yelping at your heels. If you live in such a manner as to stand the test of the last judgment, you can depend upon it that the world will not speak well of you. He who has the friendship of the world is an enemy to God. But if you are true and faithful to the Most High, men will resent your uncompromising commitment, since it is a testimony against their iniquities. You must do the right thing and not fear the consequences. You will need the courage of a lion to pursue a course that turns your best friend into your fiercest foe. But for the love of Jesus, you must take your stand. To risk reputation and affection for the truth's sake is so demanding that to do it constantly, you will need a degree of moral principle that only the Spirit of God can work in you. Do not turn your back like a coward, but play the man. Follow boldly in your master's steps, for he has made this rough journey before you. Better a brief warfare and eternal rest than false peace and everlasting torment. You You say, that's not what's at stake. It's not that serious. Is this a child's game? You know where the great struggle lies? And why peace is chosen where truth should be? Why the truth of God is exchanged for the lie? Why the sword remains sheathed to the dishonor of king and country? The love for people more than love for God. A love of people and of people's love. Listen, this is not for the weak. This is not for the faint of heart. But God's raising up an army. Now let us read well that line. The Christian will be sure to make enemies. It will be one of his objects to make none. But if in doing what is right and believing what is true should cause him to lose every earthly friend, he will regard it as a small loss, since his great friend in heaven will be even more friendly and will reveal himself to him more graciously than ever. You know, church, it's quite the set of words that Jesus spoke. The words of the one that's saying, forsake all and come follow me. The one who's saying, I'm laying my life down for you. The one who's saying, I laid my life down for you. The one who is risen and resurrected. The one who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. The one who is coming back to claim his bride. The words of Jesus Christ. He said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The Amplified Bible, do not think that I have come to bring peace on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword of division between belief and unbelief. Black and white. Get rid of the gray. Our stance must be pure and clear. Our conviction concerning truth. Our unfeigned loyalty to Jesus and his truth. And it's going to mean no compromise. I want to challenge us all in this room. I want to challenge you. Go search. Go look. You won't find one holy Bible that excludes or weakens or softens this text. Go search, go listen. You won't find one holy preacher that excludes or weakens or softens this text. Hear Jesus speak. You know where the great struggle lies and why peace is chosen where truth should be? Why the truth of God is exchanged for the lie? Why the sword remains sheathed to the dishonor of king and country? Unwillingness to deny self. I can't have enemies in my household. I can't have my friend turn foe. I can't risk opposition from those with whom I labor and trade. I can't stomach rejection. I can't have unchristian Christians at odds with me, set against me. I share these words. The large proportion of Christians find themselves opposed by those of their own family, or by those with whom they labor or trade. Is it not likely to be so? Was it not so from the beginning? Is there not enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman? Has it not ever been so? Did not the Lord Jesus Christ himself meet with slander, cruelty, and death? And did he not tell us that we must not look for favor where he found rejection? He said plainly, I came not to send peace upon the earth, but a sword. And he declared that the immediate result of the preaching of the gospel would be to set the son against the father and the father against the son, so that a man's foes should be they of his own household. If they follow him, they must deny themselves and take up their cross daily, be content to be hated of all men for his sake. He warns us not to expect that the disciple will be above his master. For if men have called the master of the house Beelzebub, they will assuredly confer no sweet titles upon his household. Church, the call is to stand for truth. Whatever the ramifications or results be, the call is to stand for truth. And if in doing what is right and believing what is true should cause us to lose every earthly friend, we should regard it as a small loss. Question, what has our desire for unholy peace produced? Has it brought people out of darkness into true light? True godliness, not just a form of godliness. Ask today, have compromise and concession and unholy acceptance become an alternative bridge to undefiled truth? You know, I wonder how many might have been rescued and saved and set free if truth at all costs would have been the road chosen. I wonder how many might have come out of compromise if the sword would have cut. If Jesus was loved more than if self was denied, would we not choose brief warfare and eternal rest over false peace and everlasting torment for self and others? And so who is the one? Who are the ones that have decided to accept the words of Jesus and the manner of his flow? Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now that's a soldier of the Lamb, a soldier of light, a soldier of the cross, a soldier of Christ, losing life for his sake. The Amplified Bible, and he who does not take his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering, or perhaps dying because of faith in me, is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. And whoever loses his life in this world for my sake will find it. That is life with me for all eternity. It has been stated, we are called to be set apart in truth, not unified in lies. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And if we give ourselves to compromise concerning truth, are we not yoking ourselves to bondage? And heaven forbid, further securing the bondage of the ones we are bowing to. Let's have the worship team return. Strong words of Jesus. Yeah, I'm thankful that he didn't beat around the bush. He just laid it all out. Clear as day. clear as day. He knew and knows more fully than we do what's at stake. He knows how serious an error pandering is. He knows the tragic cost. And time has bled this tale. You know that he isn't willing that any perish? In fact, he died for all, that all might know the truth, that all might be saved and reconciled to the Father. Guess what? He wants to spend eternity with you. That's why he didn't beat around the bush. Because he knows how serious this is, life on this side of eternity. That we will all stand at the judgment. We pass from this life. There's only two options, heaven and hell. But Jesus loves you so much that he came to die for you. That's the truth. That you might have freedom in life, that you might be reconciled unto the Father. He's desperate for relationship with you. He is the bridge to life. He laid down his life that you might have life. Why stand here today and lay it out like this? Because only the truth sets people free. If I stood here today and lied to you and told you just to accept a lesser level than what Jesus preached and Jesus teached. Listen, Jesus is the only one that gets you into glory. And so might I suggest that you surrender your life, take up your cross daily and follow. Guess what? I want to spend eternity with you. The great cloud of witnesses, they want to spend eternity with you. The Heavenly Father wants to spend eternity with you. He's getting things ready, people. He's getting things ready. The Holy Ghost wants to spend eternity with you. The angels want to spend eternity with you. Your grandfather who served the Lord and prayed for you, he wants to spend eternity with you. Your grandmother wants to spend eternity with you. Prodigal in the house. Your father, your mother, they want to spend eternity with you. Most importantly, as I've already said, Jesus Christ wants to spend eternity with you. He is not willing that any perish. Throw that other theology right out the window. He is not willing that any perish. That is why he didn't play the peace man. He was and is the truth man. Jesus played the truth man. Yeah. Peace if possible, truth at all costs. You know, think of what truth cost our Jesus. Wow. Well, it's time for water baptism. Sons and daughters losing life for his sake. Taking up their cross daily, following Jesus, Savior and Lord of their life, for his name's sake, for his sake. Yeah, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we stand just for a moment?